12. How high can we fly? On Wednesday evening, November 14, 2001, Vladimir Putin and his wife joined George W. Bush, the president's wife Laura, and about 24 friends and cabinet officials for dinner at Bush's ranch in Crawford, Texas. The guests wore jeans and boots. The menu included southern fried catfish. Putin stood to deliver a toast. Referring to his host, he said that the United States was fortunate at this critical time in its history to have a man of such character at its helm. Bush returned the compliments. In June, when he had met Putin for the first time in Slovenia, Bush said that he had looked the man in the eye and had discerned a sense of his soul. Bush had been mocked for this claim, but in Crawford he again mentioned his respect for Putin's soul, and he told the Russian president that he sought to transform the relationship between our two countries. After a dessert of pecan pie and ice cream, members of the group drifted outside to warm themselves around a fire pit. Putin sought out Don Evans, the president's close friend, who had served as the chairman of Bush's 2000 presidential campaign and was now his Secretary of Commerce. Evans had run an oil and gas company prior to joining the Bush administration. He told Putin that he appreciated the toast he had delivered about his friend, the president. Putin raised the subject of oil and gas production. Evans figured that the Russian president, a former KGB career officer, had probably read an intelligence file describing Evans's background. He welcomed the conversation nonetheless. The new commerce secretary was drawn to the prospect of a renewed energy partnership between Moscow and Washington. He and Putin talked about the possibilities. "How has America accomplished so much in only 200 years?" Putin asked him at one point. Evans spoke about American freedoms, economic competition, innovation, and the rule of law. "People in America are good people," he said. "They wake up every morning trying to do the right thing. I don't care what kind of system you have, if the people aren't good, decent people, it won't work. But even moral citizens need a system of law and governance so that they will be treated fairly and, eventually, perhaps find financial reward," Evans continued. Putin had the opportunity to build such a system for Russia, as a legacy of his leadership, Evans and Bush believed. The United States could help by delivering technology, capital, and experience of the rule of law in international business. In the oil industry in particular, Russian requirements and American capabilities overlapped. Oil and gas production made up a large share of the Russian economy, so free market reforms in the oil sector might provide a transformational catalyst for the entire country. Russia possessed at least 60 billion barrels of proved oil reserves, according to Oil and Gas Journal, and 1,680 trillion cubic feet of natural gas reserves, a quarter of the world's total and more than any other nation. For American oil companies, ownership of even a modest percentage of that bounty could be transformational. The fireside chat between Putin and Evans that night marked the start of an oil romance between the Russian and American governments, one that would soon draw in Lee Raymond and ExxonMobil. From the beginning, it was an engagement marked by exceptional optimism on the American side, shadowed by a long history of mistrust rooted in the Cold War. "Old think," as Bush's ambassador to Russia, Alexander Sandy Virchow, put it in the cable to Washington. The hypothesis Evans and others in the Bush administration pursued after the Crawford dinner was that a strategic campaign to deepen commercial ties between oil companies in the United States and Russia might transform Russia's internal politics, remake U.S.-Russian relations, and even alter the global geopolitics of oil. President George H.W. Bush had seen oil for friendship as a critical element of his campaign to build a partnership with Mikhail Gorbachev as the Soviet Union cracked up. Bush persuaded Gorbachev to endorse Chevron's pioneering lucrative entrance into the Tengiz oil project in the then Soviet Republic of Kazakhstan. George W. Bush intended something similar with Putin, whose intentions as a political leader and as a sponsor of market-led modernization were at best enigmatic. Bush did not see Russia only through the prism of oil, but he did regard energy policy as critical to his ambitions for his relationship with Putin. Bush's national security advisers, led by Condoleezza Rice, an academic specialist on Russia, and her deputy, Stephen Hadley, sought to construct a more cooperative relationship with Moscow, one that might coax Putin's government toward an embrace of democratic capitalism and diplomatic normalcy within Europe. They knew there inevitably would be tensions and disagreements that would drag them back toward rivalry. To prevent, or at least limit, that recurrence of old think, Bush and his advisers concluded that they needed to find three or four shared projects that would invest Putin and the Kremlin in a broad, pragmatic, ongoing pattern of U.S.-Russian cooperation. Space programs, and particularly the management of the International Space Station, offered one such pathway. Counterterrorism and preventing nuclear proliferation after the September 11 attacks also appeared to be promising. But the project with the greatest potential, the one that might literally invest the United States in Russia's success and vice versa, involved Russia's oil and gas production. I think all of us at the senior level thought this was a real moment to seize, from the President to Don Evans at Commerce, to me, to the Vice President as well, recalled Spencer Abraham, then Bush's Energy Secretary.